I'm filled with joy this morning. There's a lot going on. The Lord is in this place, in this building this morning. And it's good to be here. What a great worship time we've had this morning. And a little bit later, the Walkers, Tom and Wanda, are going to share a little bit about what's on their hearts in terms of going out into the mission field and their work with Wycliffe Bible Translation. They're going to talk a little bit about that. One of my favorite passages is the passage that says, "Here am I, send me." And, you know, we say that, and I love that, and the Walkers are living that out, coming up here over the next 9 months and going out into the world, and He is sending them, and they are going. And it is a wonderful thing, and we'll hear about that in just a little bit. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Scott Philbrick, and I am humbled and honored to be a part of the preaching team here at Little Rock Church for this season. But I also say in a humble fashion that more importantly, I am nothing but a sinner who is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's with that I start this morning, and we're going to read through Philippians and listen to the words of Paul as he writes, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those manipulators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault." Listen to the twist here and the change of idea. "I once thought those things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead." And that is the good news this morning, that we can suffer with Him and experience the good news of the resurrection. That's it, plain and simple. You know, we sang the song earlier, Winston led with it this morning, and we've sung it countless times. You probably can't count the number of times that you have sung this song during this time of year. "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room." Not some hearts, not a few here and there, but let every heart prepare room. You know, His goal is to get the knowledge of Him to the rest of the world. And in that, there is joy. That was one moment in time. And it changed everything forever. Joy in the flesh. Christ is born. It changed history. It changed our salvation. It changed everything about us. That one moment in time. You know, we all have moments in our lives that impact who we are, that help us think the way we do, moments in our lives that we remember forever, moments in our lives that are filled with joy that we will never forget. I have moments like that. I'll never forget the moment that I hit my first over-the-fence home run in baseball. The feeling of that bat in my hand when the ball and the bat collided. And, you know, at that very moment, it became surreal because everything was in slow motion. I'd never felt that impact before that hard. And the trajectory of that ball as it headed towards left field fence over there. And because I was a right-handed batter, and so I was strictly a pull hitter my whole career. That's why I'm Anyway, but I watched the trajectory of that ball as it climbed up and over the fence. And one thing I do remember is not feeling my feet as I kind of rounded the bases. And so much so that I had to kind of look down and make sure I touched each base as I went around. But what a feeling of joy that had for me. And it really kind of solidified my love of sport in general, and specifically my love of the game of baseball from that moment on. And what a joyful moment for me. But I also remember standing in the baptistry at Pleasant Valley Church in front of my brothers and sisters. Many of your faces I see today, I saw many years ago back at that time, and confessing my love for Jesus Christ. And my brother and my friend Stacy Peters baptized me there and in that building that day. And then in that same building, months later, standing in front of hundreds of people confessing my love for the person that I chose to spend the rest of my life with. It was a moment of joy in my life, a moment that I'll always look back on and never forget. And then that moment, and you know what I'm talking about, that you hold each child in your hand for the very first time, that feeling of joy that you experience, that sense of awe when you look down on that person, and that little bit of panic as well, that, yes, indeed, I am responsible for this living being. But that sense of joy, that overwhelming joy that we feel, those moments in our lives that change us forever. You know, but I can also think of times that weren't quite as joyful. A time when I lost my job and the fear of what's next? How am I going to provide for my family? Where's that going to come from? What am I going to do? And the pain that in recent years of watching friends and family members die way too soon. You know, the pain that goes along with that. So many other things as well. And today in our world, we turn on the TV or we look on the internet and we see people who value human life so very little that they'll discharge weapons in a concert filled with people, or in a company Christmas party, or in a grade school. And I think to myself, what kind of people are we? You know, and how can joy exist in a world like we have, where there's so much tragedy, so much sorrow? And then, so that gets me thinking a little bit about what does it mean to be full of joy? What does it mean to be joyful? Can I have joy in the simple things of life? Can I have joy? Can I experience that in a promotion at work? Can I feel joy in the health of my children? In that relationship that has been mended over time? Can I experience joy in that way? Can I experience joy when, you know, maybe our tax return came back and it was a lot more than we anticipated, and now we can pay off some bills or we can go on a family vacation and experience the joy that go along with those types of things? And I say, of course we can experience those joys, because our Lord is pleased when we feel joy. Our Lord wants us to feel that happiness that we feel in those occasions. And so there is joy in that way. But I also think, you know, can those joyful times last? And can we feel joy in our sorrow? Can I have joy when I do lose my job, or I don't get that promotion, or a loved one dies, or the money is not reaching to the end of the month? Can I have joy in those struggles? Can I feel that joy that comes with those things? Let's face it, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult when we're in a struggle to feel that kind of joy. How do we feel that kind of joy? Let's go back a couple thousand years and take a little bit closer look at Paul's life, because he described it very well in that passage I read earlier. He was on top of the world. He had it all, right? He was a Pharisee. He obeyed the law to the nth degree. He did all that there was to do. He was so prideful almost in the fact that he persecuted Christians. And that was something that kind of put him at the top. And then he switched it on that road that day when Christ reached out to him and said, "Why do you persecute me, Paul?" And he blinded him. And then He gave him sight again, but he made him see in more than just one way, right? I mean, because when he wrote Philippians, which is sometimes described as the book of joy, he wasn't in a life that was joyful. It would seem on the surface. He was in shackles. He was in prison, had been in prison for years. And he's living a life that we wouldn't necessarily consider or link it with joy in his life. But he was joyful because he knew. He was joyful because he was confident. He was joyful even when he was in shackles. Can we be joyful in struggles, in times of struggle? We absolutely can be, because Scripture tells us that while we live in this world, we can have joy by not being of this world. And that's where our joy comes into play. That's where we can find joy. If you are confident in your faith and in the knowledge that Christ is supreme, Christ is the Alpha, He is the Omega, Christ is yesterday, Christ is today, and Christ will be tomorrow. And that is the simple truth. And that is where we gain our joy. It's not being thrashed about by the waves or go whichever way the wind is blowing. If you are confident in the fact that Jesus Christ suffered on the cross and shed His blood for our salvation, it's in that that you can find joy in your life. And I say this with confidence, in a humble way, that I do gain confidence and I gain great joy out of what it says in Jeremiah 2:22. It says, no amount of soap or lye can make you clean. Nothing that I can do can gain my salvation. And I take great joy in that, because, let's face it, that takes the pressure off of me. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to do it. I don't have to figure it out. The only thing that I have to do is receive. I have to receive the gift that He gave when joy became flesh. And I gain great joy in that. I gain great joy in that, because at the end of the day, I can't do it myself. And I'm only saved by the blood of Christ. And that's what makes me clean. And that is what is unwavering in our lives. In this world where we find trouble, and that's scriptural, we will find trouble. It's the only thing that's unwavering in our lives. Listen to the powerful words found in Colossians 1, beginning with verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. That's the good news. And that's, at the end of the day, that's where the rubber meets the road, and it's very simple. And that simplicity gives me confidence and gives me joy. And as I close this morning, I have one more moment in my life to share. I remember standing in my grandmother's room on her last day on earth. And it was one of the sweetest and most tender moments that I've ever experienced, because, and I got choked up earlier in the first service, because I was able to sit back at the foot of her bed and watch as my mother and my aunt stood on either side of her bed. And they loved on her. They stroked her hair. They sang to her. And it just made me realize at that moment that, you know, the love that our God has for us, and that love that those ladies showed their mother, was very touching to me. And in that time of death, I experienced a joy. And I know my grandmother experienced joy that day as well, because she loved Jesus. And I know that her joy was that she was then sitting at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, where we will all be sitting one day. And in that, there was great joy for me at that moment. And I know, too, that her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And In that, there is confidence. And I pray that each of us can have the same confidence that if you believe that the blood of Christ was shed for you, that your names, too, are written in that same book, and that you will be seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And in that, there is great joy this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we glorify your name, Lord. We lift you up. We are nothing without you, Father. Your blood covers us all. It's as simple as that, Lord. The only thing that we are required to do is to reach out and accept it and to live it. I thank you for all that you do. You know the depths of our hearts, and yet you love us the same. And that is so very important, Lord. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate joy becoming flesh this time of year. But more importantly, we celebrate death on the cross and the resurrection that follows. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.